Hello and welcome to Seeds and Ways, a podcast. I'm the Reverend Dr. Cheryl A. Lindsay, Minister for Worship and Theology for the United Church of Christ. Today I'm sharing my reflection, Much Fruit, for the fifth Sunday of Easter, Year B, April 28th, 2024, from the worship series Waiting for the Feast, based on John 15, 1 through 8, which reads, I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Much fruit. Fruit is a particular part of a flowering plant. Botanists refer to them as the ovary of the plant, as fruit carries seeds. They contain the reproductive potential of the flowering plant. Without fruit, the plant may not die, but it cannot replicate itself. Mangoes, oranges, and apples are fruit, and tomatoes, cucumbers, and nuts like almonds in their shells are also classified as fruit. Fruit grows on vines or branches, and the reproductive process occurs when the seed falls to the ground, directly or indirectly, with the assistance of an animal and takes root in the soil. When I was a child and learned about seeds, a friend and I decided to experiment. After a backyard cookout, we took the seeds from the peaches we had consumed and planted them in the ground. We did not cultivate the soil, water, or fertilize the seed in any way, or account for the fact that Ohio is not known for peach trees. Our experiment did not bear fruit and left us disappointed. Yet we learned a lesson about gardening, from assessing possibilities, preparing the habitat, and providing nurture and care. Honestly, we mostly learned that we were not ready to be gardeners. John 15 is situated within the third section of the gospel narrative, known as the Book of Glory. Jesus has turned his attention from performing signs that point to himself as the Messiah. Having established his identity, he progresses to cultivating his apprentices to continue his ministry beyond his physical presence. In addition, Jesus also must prepare them for his coming passion. Specifically, the teachings found in this passage are part of his final parting pre-crucifixion instructions. Quote, the material contained in John 13 through 17 is unique to this gospel. The underlying perspective of the farewell discourse is different from the first half of John's gospel, which narrates Jesus' ministry to the Jews, with his followers playing only a minor role as disciples of Rabbi Jesus. The farewell discourse, on the other hand, presents Jesus' mission to the world based on his cross death and carried out through his followers and the power of the Spirit. The underlying assumption is that Jesus has been exalted. Thus, he will answer prayer offered in his name, send his Spirit, and direct the mission of his followers, and take his disciples into the loving and unified Father-Son relationship. The disciples have risen from lowly helpers to partners in ministry. The parallels between the present discourse and covenant language in Moses' parting Deuteronomic instructions suggest that Jesus here is cast as the new Moses, who institutes a new covenant with his disciples. Just as Moses was prevented by death from leading God's people into the promised land, so Jesus will be separated, albeit only temporarily, from his followers. End quote. Andreas J. Kaufenberger. It is interesting that Jesus, in preparing his disciples for separation, emphasizes his abiding connection to them. This is covenantal language reflecting covenantal commitments. John uses metaphorical language to paint the picture of the relationship Jesus maintains with the divine parent and the relationship between Jesus and the disciples. From those relational ties, the disciples have a relationship with the divine parent as well, that Jesus establishes and presents to them as foundational to their existence as beings created for this. Nothing is arbitrary. Abiding mutuality is embedded in the design, just as the life cycle of flowering plants has been ordered with the inclusion of its fruit as the means of reproduction and species flourishing. The disciples will be charged to birth a new ministry. The blueprint had already been established. The divine gardener has planted a vine in the world in Jesus Christ. As Kostenberger notes, quote, Jesus coming from God is a theme that pervades the entire gospel. What is about to follow took place precisely because Jesus knew his true status and position, end quote. In turn, Jesus ensures that his companions also know theirs in the triune God. A vine does not exist to bear fruit once and die. A vine has the capacity to produce fruit year after year and flourish perennially. At the same time, a vine that gets cut down or destroyed in some way may appear to meet its end, yet if the roots contain life, it may be renewed and grow to new height, breadth, and length. In the film A Walk in the Clouds, spoiler alert, there's a fire in the vineyard. It sparks quickly and spreads even more rapidly. Attempts to extinguish the fire fail and put family and staff in jeopardy. As the sun dawns, the male lead character goes to the original source vine and pulls it from the ground to the roots. He brings it to the vineyard owner and asks, is it alive? The vine grower cuts a piece of the root and declares with incredulity, delight, and renewed hope, it is alive. Everything changes in that moment. The resurrection is like that moment when abject despair and the fear of a devastated future gives way to impossible hope. Jesus lives and everything will change. The father in the film turns to his now affirmed son in love and instructs him to plant the root in the grove. The son counters sheepishly, I don't know how. Jesus does not want his disciples to declare that they don't know how to continue to follow his path, to walk in his ways, and to minister to the glory of God. Their function is to bear fruit and has been since he called them into his circle. Their fruit will signal to the world that Jesus is alive, even when his physical body ascends from the world, because his cold body, the church, still lives. Quote, the repeated references to does not fruit, does bear fruit, bear even more fruit, draw attention to the fact that the bearing of fruit is God's primary creative and redemptive purpose. The Old Testament prophets envisioned a time when Israel would bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit. Indeed, the bearing of fruit is the essential purpose of a vineyard. The term karpos, fruit, occurs 8 times in 15, 1 through 16, and only twice in the rest of the gospel. The father's intervention in 15:2 to ensure more fruit is continued by the much fruit borne by the one who remains in Jesus in 15:5 and is brought together in 15:8, where the bearing of much fruit brings glory to the Father and provides evidence of discipleship to Jesus. End quote. Andreas J. Kostenberger. Notice that fruit bearing is the only barometer. The lone objective is to reproduce the ministry of Jesus. When the branches, the disciples, fulfill that purpose, the vine grower will prune the branch in order that it might bear more fruit. As I mentioned, I do not consider myself to be a gardener, but one year I noticed a rose bush seemed to be dying. There were only one or two blooms, and another bush was encroaching on its space. Looking at the rose bush as a lost cause, I began to cut the branches that I could reach. I could not pull it up by the root without displacing the other bush that appeared to be in decent shape. The following season, that rose bush came back to life with more buds than I've ever seen. Turns out, it needed the pruning to move from dying to flourishing. I wonder if the church needs to embrace this season of pruning in order to return to flourishing. What would happen if we focused not on the signs of death and dying, but focused on abiding in Jesus and being faithful to the ministry of redemption, liberation, and restoration in the world. I wonder what new life might flourish if we cut away bare branches that no longer serve the needs of our faith community or of the world. Perhaps, like that rose bush or that fictional grapevine root, what seems like the end can actually make way for a new, flourishing beginning that will bear much fruit. Amen. I'd like to highlight a resource available for congregational use. Stewardship theme materials enable you to focus on stewardship throughout the year. This year's theme, Imagine Together, will help people understand the impact your local church can make in your community with generous support from the members of the local church. The materials include a complete package, 8 complete worship services, hymn suggestions, sermon starters from 8 different authors, plus additional faith formation sessions for children, youth, and adults. And here's what other stewardship products don't offer. This resource includes campaign guidance for every step of a year-round or seasonal effort. You want to help leaders make the best use of these robust materials for a congregation of your size and context. We know spring is a season of new life and vitality. We hope these resources support your stewardship efforts in this busy time and beyond. Thank you for joining me on Seeds and Ways. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can find the full sermon seeds entry, including a suggested congregational response, quotes for further reflection, voices of African descent, and a roadmap for the entire season on ucc.org. Sermon Seeds also has a Facebook page where I do Facebook Live process videos, preparation for the reflection, and share updates and links for Sermon Seeds and Worship Waves. Follow us there. And subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. I pray that this tool provides a seed that will bear fruit in your faith community as you proclaim the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.